So as we come to Luke chapter 1, there are many great songs in Scripture, and we're going to look at Mary's song. And the reason Mary is singing is because God has changed Mary's situation. So if you're not feeling very joyful this morning, and there could be some very good reasons for that, we're hoping that we'll think about that in a minute, but the good thing is, here is a situation that God changes and Mary actually starts really singing and praising, because God is the God who often reverses our situations when we think, how is this ever going to turn out for good? And then we see this time and time again where God changes or reverses the situation, and it's in those times that we find ourselves just praising God and thinking, why did I ever doubt you? Why was I ever in that space, you know? And so God reverses the situations in his own timing, in his own way, and he comes to ordinary people, and there's something really, really cool about ordinary people, isn't there? Ordinary people. People whom, you know, the world or the trends of the world, they just kind of like, they walk past and they don't notice. You know, just people like you and me who really aren't that exceptional. Sorry. But it's true. Just, you know, middle-aged, overweight people. A little bit slow. A little bit this, a little bit that. Ordinary people. And that's what we find in the Scripture. God comes to ordinary people. Most of us are ordinary. There's very few. Forgive me, you may think you're quite exceptional this morning. But really, we are ordinary. Very ordinary. Very ordinary people. But God comes to ordinary people, which is really exciting. And he comes to Mary, this ordinary girl, seemingly obscure people, and he visits Mary, and as a response to this, Mary gives praise to God. But to understand something about Mary's joy, we need to see it in context in which Mary's joy came about. And there are a number of factors or phases which describe almost like the journey to joy. So there's a journey to joy. So we're not going to spend a lot of time in the, what they call Mary's Magnificat, the song itself, because, you know, we know what joy is. We know that, you know, when you're really happy in God and you go home and you're really happy and you're singing praise songs, and or if you get up in the morning and you're in the shower and you're singing your favourite praise songs, or maybe you're singing a secular song. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I sang secular songs ever since I was a little boy, because that's all they played in my house on a Saturday morning. On would go the record player, and the old man would be playing all these old songs, mostly Elvis and a whole bunch of other old dudes. So, you know, if you were indoctrinated in that area and you know those songs, you know those songs really well. And those are the songs I used to sing when I used to go to bed. One for the money, two for... You know, that's what I'd be singing. And the funny thing was, I'd go to Sunday school and I'd hear people, you know, I believed in God, and I was thinking, I just want to sing when I'm lying in my bed. So I'd sing Elvis songs to God, you know, and because that's the song that I knew, it was in my heart. So maybe you're singing these songs, you can sing whatever songs, you can sing it unto God. And so how did I get there? Don't know. But Mary is singing this song, but there's a journey to joy, and there's a whole bunch of situations around, if you're not in joy in God, there's a process here I want to see, because it just doesn't happen instantly. There's always a process. And there's three aspects I want to highlight today in our text, and I'll give them to you now. First of all, Mary's hearing and believing. This is important for the journey to joy. Mary's hearing and believing the announcement of the promised Christ child, number one. Number two, Mary's believing and acting on the announcement. That's where God confirms the announcement. And thirdly, the song itself. So if you've got your Bibles open, come back with me. The first one is Mary's hearing and believing the announcement of the promised Christ child. So last week we read in the early chapters in verse 26 and following, we learned about the angel coming to Mary and giving her a very important announcement. If you were here last week, we talked about a whole bunch of really important announcements. Let me just read to you from verse, I'm going to have to do this, verse 28. And this is what the angel said to Mary. And he came to her, that's the angel, and said, "Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who has been called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. In verse 38, and Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So the simple point we want to take from this morning, because we spoke on it last week, is that this is the beginning of a string of events leading up to the point where Mary is very joyful. And it begins upon Mary hearing and believing. In fact, Mary says, upon hearing and believing, I want it to be just like you have said, messenger of God. That's what she says at the end of that verse. Let it be according to your word. When Mary hears the announcements from God, it sounds a little bit strange, but she wants it. And God has made plenty of announcements in Scripture that we as the people of God should hear, believe, and if we are God's people, want it. Let it be so, God. I want that. Isn't that what Mary is saying? Let it be so. I want what you've promised me. I want it. Mary is willing to accept God's messenger of the announcement that's been given. Friends, that's for many of us, that's where it really begins. We need to believe, we need to hear God's word, we need to believe it, and we need to want it. Want those promises. Want what God is saying is true. Because it's easy to hear. And it's easy to believe or say we believe, but do we really want what God has declared? That's the challenge. That's what marks a Christian. We want it. We go after it. Which raises for us another important question for us this morning. What announcements have we been listening to of late? Because whatever we listen to, those are the things that feed our faith, or feed our joy, or destroy our faith, or kill our joy. The things that we hear and we go after. This past week, many of us would have heard a very important announcement, talking about announcements, and that is that Donald Trump is now the president-elect of the United States of America. I'm sure most of you have caught up with that. It's been on the news. Now, that announcement itself may have come as a bit of a shock to some people. But no matter what we think of that announcement as Christians, we know that God is in control. That God has permitted and allowed Donald to get in. Sounds funny calling him Donald. I always think of Disneyland when I think of that, and that's probably a little bit disrespectful. Donald is now the president. Of the United States. Now, some people may panic. Certainly, if you've been watching the news, some parts of the US, people are rioting. And there's so many ironies in this, isn't there? You know, we see it on TV, people running up going, you believe in a violent, bigoted man. I'm not going to say only in America. Where's my brother? There. I'm not going to say only in America because it's a human condition. And some people are panicking and others may be rejoicing. Others are worried. I'm not worried. God has put Donald there. Donald has put the new president-elect there. We must be respectful to his position. And we should pray for him. We should pray for that country and pray for ourselves. But God is in control. We've seen that all the way through the Old Testament, isn't it? God raises up leaders. God raises up leaders. And we know that because why? Because of Ephesians 1:11, which states that God is working all things according to the counsel of his will. God is working there. I'm not going to panic if there's an issue. We'll pray about it. But God's word has already announced to us that God is in control of raising up leaders, even if we don't like them or agree with their policy. It's just a reminder to us that our answers are never going to be in politics, right? They never really are. Our answers in the Christ child, which has been announced to Mary. We know this because God's word speaks into our life. So what have you been listening to of late? And how have we been responding to that? What have you been filling your thoughts up with? What announcements? What have you been feeding on? Because that which we feed upon is the fuel for our manner and our behaviour in our daily living. Because we really know, friends, that what we believe by the way we behave, isn't that true? I know what people really believe, and you know what I really believe, by our actions. By our actions. James chapter 2 verse 18 says, "Show me your faith apart from what you do, and I will show you my faith by what I do." In other words, words are cheap. The point is, whatever one says about what they believe counts for nothing if they do not live out those beliefs day by day in their words and actions. In fact, it's more than that. Everyone does live out what they really believe, even if they say they have faith. Now, faith without works is dead. It's no faith at all. Well, it's certainly not the content of the Christian faith. And so we really do live out what we believe. It's impossible to do otherwise because it comes from our heart, doesn't it? Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever one stores up in their heart flows out of here, doesn't it? It kind of catches us out a lot. So Mary's journey towards joy begins with hearing God's word and believing God's good announcement of the promised child. And that's the same for you and me. Your journey towards joy, if you're feeling, let me just put it anecdotally, if you're feeling joyless at the moment, it'll begin on its journey by hearing God's truth, believing God's truth. That's where it begins. That's where the scriptures are pointing us back this morning. Secondly, we also see that Mary's believing, the road to joy for Mary is from believing and acting on the announcement. So she's heard the word, the message and the promise. She's believed it. She wants it. She's going after it. And then she acts upon that which she has heard. It can't just stay there. She acts upon it. And where do we get this? We find this in part of our passage this morning. If you drop your eyes down with me, in verse 39 and following. This is where Mary goes off to see Elizabeth. She acts upon it because why? The angel has told Mary that Elizabeth, your cousin, is 6 months pregnant already. And so what's she do? She goes, "I'm going to go and see her. I'm going to go and see Cuz. She's 6 months pregnant." And she's, yeah, this is unbelievable. It's not unbelievable, but it's a miracle. And she goes and she travels. They say it could have been 100 k's, 100 miles, quite a distance. And she goes over there to see Elizabeth. And I'm tempted to read it out to you. Maybe I won't, because we just had it read out. Anyway, this is what happens. She arose and she went with haste to the town of Judah. She entered the house of Zechariah. And as soon as Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." So she can hear Mary coming in, into the house. She's 6 months pregnant, maybe she's, you know, getting out of the chair, and she hears, and her baby kicks. You know, women who have been pregnant, you know what this is like, right? The baby is kicking, and when she hears a familiar voice. Well, it's not familiar, but it is familiar. Because Mary is carrying the Anointed One, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And John the Baptist, who is just 6 months old, responds. responds. And here we have John the Baptist. The old covenant promises in John the Baptist meets the new covenant promises with a fulfillment, which is inside Mary. And there's this kind of something going on before they're even born that the babies know about. And so this is, and she says, "And why is this granted to me that the mother of the Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped." Not just leaped, he leaped for joy. He leaped for joy. "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the angel." There's the verse. There's the summary. She has believed and she's responded and she's gone to see this promise and she's taken steps of obedience. Friends, that's the road to our joy. Hearing, believing, wanting, and taking steps which are exercised in faith. Believing. That's the road to joy. There is no way God is going to bless those who doubt, but those who believe. Or if we know what God's word says and we do the opposite. We cannot expect God to bring us to a place of joy and peace and hope with him if we know what he said and we do the opposite. Isn't that not true? And it's just ironic, and it's easier to think about other people at this point, isn't it? It's always easy to go, those people go round and round the mountain, they keep doing those stupid, dumb things, whether it's in business or in their family life, and they're expecting a different result. That's the definition of insanity, is it not? To keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result, that's the definition of insanity. But here is Mary believing and taking steps, deliberate steps, based on what she's heard from God. And God at that point, what does God do? Confirms. He confirms his mercy and grace. And God confirms his mercy and grace to us when we not only hear and believe, but we go after and we take steps of faith in obedience. That's when God confirms his word. He will not confirm our rebellion or bless us in our sin, but he does confirm his promises when we step out in faith. And that's why we get blessed as she who's believed. James says they're dreaming if they expect to get something from God when they doubt or behave contrary to his word. Let me read to you from James chapter 1 verse 22. Oh, I think this is, every time I read the book of James, you find this, I'm like, Wow. Read it many, many times. But it's like, I was going to read James out before I got up, you know, once I got up heavy this morning. I couldn't choose which part to read out because it's just so full of wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word. Okay, Mary just didn't only listen to the word. You must listen to the word, but just don't only listen to the word. Because if you only listen to the word, you deceive yourselves. That's what James says. But do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at their face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law, that's God's word, it gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, acting on that word, they will be blessed in what they do. Friends, maybe this morning you're facing an area in your life because we want to, and you're thinking, I keep thinking about it, I keep hearing about it, I know I should do it, but you've not taken steps towards doing it. And you're hoping that something magically will change. Let me tell you this morning, it won't. Because God's word said, hearing the word's not enough. Believing the word's not enough. We must act upon the word. And God will confirm. God will confirm his word. I can say that 100%. Why? Because God says it. God says it. He will confirm his word if we act upon it. God is not a liar. God will carry out his word. So do it. Do what God has put in your heart to do. Do what God's word says. He will confirm his word. So secondly, we see Mary believing and acting, and it's in that acting that God confirms his promises. And lastly, There is, of course, the genuine praise to God upon meeting Elizabeth, which we come to her song. The song is a song of God's great mercy, of retelling of who the Lord is and what God is doing and what God has done. And we won't go through it all, but there's a few things we want to pick out here. Mary begins by rejoicing in God and in her Saviour. First and foremost, when God confirms his promises, a joy towards God and not just our circumstances is our first priority. Because our circumstances can change, can't they? We can be up one day doing really well. We can be down the next. We're human. But God never changes. God is always Saviour. God is always good. God is always holy. And so she directs her praise to God. Because God has seen her lowly state, her humble state, and he has lifted her up. That's what the song says. He's lifted up the lowly. Jesus later will say that about the proud. Jesus says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled. But he who humbles himself will be exalted. See, that is a deliberate response. Not whether you just think you're humble or we pretend to be humble, but we actually humble ourselves. That's an active act of submission. It's a willing act to actually make ourselves lower and nothing. So contrary to what we're told over and over again through just about every means of society, that if you want to do well, you have to promote yourself. Self-promotion. That's not God's way. She goes on to talk about how God works and how he will give mercy to everyone else who humbles themselves. Everyone who listens. She says, listen to what God has done for me, that you may fear him as well. I'll just pick out a few lines here. There is a line here she says in her song about God filling the hungry with good things. This resonates in the Gospels later when Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the hungry. This serves as a reminder for us to stay hungry, for the graces of praying to God and reading his word. Staying hungry. Are you hungry this morning? God feeds the hungry. He doesn't feed the satisfied. If you're satisfied with your lot in life, satisfied for your family's lot in life, your relationship in life, you're probably not going to go feeding on the things that God has given you because you're full, right? Is there a hunger within you to know the Lord Jesus Christ better, to love God's people, to reach out the community? Is there a hunger? Because that hunger propels us towards the graces of God. She goes on to say, and as the rich will be sent away empty. She's rejoicing that the rich will be sent away empty and the hungry will be fed and satisfied. This line refers to those who live for wealth and power and feel they have everything figured out. All those who have everything figured out, she says, these people will be sent away empty. These people, in effect, wish to be gods rather than gods. They live as if they're gods rather than belonging to God. One author said, how can God fill those who are already full of themselves? Isn't that true? How can God fill those who are already full of themselves? They'll be sent away empty. We also notice that Mary's joy is not only because of God's mercy towards her, but more to the point, is that God has come to help not only her, but more importantly, the people of Israel. You see that in the closing verses. There's a sense of solidarity that because God has visited Mary with the Christ child, that all nations on earth will be blessed. Let me read that to you. Verse 54, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our forefathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. You see, this is not just about Mary feeling personally joyful. The reason she's joyful is that God has promised, he is bringing his promises to fulfillment for his own glory for the nations. And that's why we rejoice when the gospel goes to all peoples. It's not just a privatized joy that we're seeking. Heaven forbid, that would be very proud, wouldn't it? If we were seeking after solely our own comfort and joy. And so she rejoices. She rejoices. I was thinking this morning, actually it was an interesting week, just, you know, you're sort of getting around places and I was thinking about joy and thinking about the joy is in, Mary's joy is in the promised Christ child. And I was thinking about what I've just shared with you about the process towards joy, hearing and believing and acting to get to this point of really acknowledging God's grace in your life. And I was just getting around Gympie and I don't know, it was one of those weeks where I saw a bunch of angry people. You know, people who didn't look very happy. Grumpy people. And I was thinking the opposite of what we hear here is hopelessness, anger, frustration. And I was thinking, that is the enemy to all that we're talking about here. And I was thinking, that's the enemy for us entering in, if you like, or sharing in Mary's joy in the promised Christ child. Isn't it? Hopelessness, frustration, anger. Those are the things that rob us. Those are the things we battle with from us not enjoying the promises in the Christ child. So, I happened to be reading a book, and in God's providence, it spoke about some of the issues around anger, which clearly when you're angry, you're not very joyful. And I wanted to read it out to you, just a portion from here, because this is where we do surgery. This is where we do surgery. This is where we do the tough stuff. This is where we say, is that me? Is that me that they're talking about? So I'm going to read it out to you. Take a couple minutes, but if you identify yourself anywhere in here, then we can really do work at returning to the joy that God has for us who put their trust in the promised Christ child, okay? So let me read this to you, because it's all of us. It's all of us. And then we'll bring our time to a close very soon. The author writes, this is David Paulson, in the book Good and Angry that I'm working through, it's just been published. He says this, I know that many times your anger is not justified or it gets blown out of proportion. You were irritable, you got into nitpicking or feeling sorry for yourself. Perhaps you take things personally that weren't about you. Have you ever complained about weather or cursed in a traffic jam? Perhaps you misinterpreted or exaggerated what someone else says or does. It can be hard to see and admit because we seem so plausible to ourselves. But I bet this is so. You are ruled by your agenda, your expectations, your convenience, your pleasure, and your fears. You couldn't see it at the time, but when somebody or something got in your way, you lost it. I know that there have been other times when it was right for you to be bothered about what happened, but your anger still got out of line. What you thought, what you said, and what you did was hostile, even mean-spirited. You got stuck in being judgmental. In a nutshell, you returned evil for evil, as if two wrongs could make a right. You became essentially destructive, not basically constructive. Your anger created more wreckage, more hurt, and more alienation rather than positive solutions. I know that whether you were right or wrong, you get upset. There have been times when anger at what happened hung around a lot longer than it should. You became bitter at a betrayal and couldn't let it go. You brooded, replaying video clips in your mind. You rehearsed how wrong she was. How many reasons I have to be upset at him. If you've piled up some mileage on life's odometer, I know that your anger probably has accumulated some complexities. Anger isn't necessarily a cause and effect reaction to one particular event. He goes on to say, every one of us has a hard time changing. It's hard to think straight about anger. It grabs you and it's got you. The ancient Romans had a saying, anger is a brief madness. Anger makes us crazy and blind and confused and confusing. The beams of sanity are rare. Have you ever noticed and marvelled later at your irrationality? What came over me? How could I have thought that, said that, done that? Sometimes the insanity is not so brief. It settles in and stays a while. Sometimes the habit runs on for a lifetime, a hamster wheel. You don't even get off. We need help. We need forgiveness. We need both vision and strength to change. We need a saviour on scene, active, committed, practical, personal, to get mixed up with our troubles. Anger, we're in this one together, and so is Jesus. That is just one of the sins that robs us of our joy in the Christ child. I wonder how many of us can identify with some of those statements. How many of us have memories of our upbringings, parents, friends, disappointments in jobs, disappointments in family members, disappointments in ourselves, what we thought we'd achieve in life, things that seemed out of our control, and just anger just feeds away and builds up, accumulates. If you're thinking that's not me, you're not human. You're not human if this has not touched you. And therefore, if that is you, just incidentally, you have an anger problem. This is all of us. And like you, I read of Mary's joy and I say, I want more of that. And less of this. And the way we do that is we journey, we hear, we believe, we accept, we act on that belief like Mary did. God confirms his grace to us over and over again, just as he has this morning by his Spirit, so that we might sing his praises, not just for ourselves, what he has done for me, but what he's doing for himself, because he deserves the glory and he's building his church. Friends, whatever the Lord has laid on your heart this morning, I'd encourage you to pray, to seek God, to go to his word, to confess, perhaps ask forgiveness. Because we are a different community. We're not here just to rah-rah and pat each other on the back. Forget that. Go to a sports club for that. This is heart surgery. This is relationship with the living God. So spend some time with him some other time in this day for his glory, that you might know his joy. Let us pray. Father, as I stand here and as I say these words, I am very conscious that even saying these words is not sufficient. Delivering a message, explaining the problem, pointing people to the solution, which is only found in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, does not in and of itself take away the problems. But the Father, you put the onus back on us to journey with you, to live these words out in our own private lives, to live them out in relationship with you, in our closets, in our prayer times, in your word, alone. So Father, give us the grace to do that, to begin with that. And for that other point in this message, Father, where you arrested some and said that you need to act upon what you have heard and believed and you need to take those steps, Father, not only have you given that message, but Father, give the grace to enable your people to carry out those steps of faith. Enable us and empower us by your Holy Spirit, if indeed your Spirit lives within us. Father, we thank you for the joy that Mary received, and we know that joy is ours as we look to the promised Christ child ourselves, you, Lord Jesus. It all begins and ends with our relationship with you. We thank you that you've been here to minister and to heal and to build, to wound, so that we might see where we need healing, so we might not be proud and self-confident, but that we might deliberately humble ourselves and confess our ongoing need of a Saviour. Father, we thank you for working in our hearts this morning. Continue to do this, we pray, for our own sake, for your glory, and for those around us who you've called to love and to journey with. Because we pray all these things in your wonderful name. Amen.